Welcome to the big show. We've actually started having shot the grief over the new Godzilla trailer, which there's 1 minute and a half that I won't get back.
Oh, I pretty much have to change my pants after watching that.
Oh, dear me. What are you talking about, Jeff? You're not wearing any pants.
It's a special occasion.
Sadly, there's video proof I am right now because I didn't have a chance to take them off before the show started.
Batwitch just put it in the chat room. It's a bring a story party because Ewan can't be asked to do any prep. No, it's not. It's not that at all. Joining me to discuss the week in tech and bringing their own stories. The reason I've stuck with this format is because it's kind of, we've always said that the podcasts are like mates down the pub. And when you bring the thing that interests you to talk about, I think it's more like mates down the pub. So that's why we stuck with it. And I'm a lazy bastard, apparently. So there you go. Batwitch says she loves me, really. But no, I don't think so. And making a welcome return after some time away, Mr. Alex G. Fox. Where the hell have you been? And we've dropped. Oh, drum roll.
And we're fine until we start recording.
And we're back.
I know. It's that big button.
Well, that was fun.
Yay. Oh, that was a great show.
Brilliant.
It's not just me then.
No, restart your video, dude.
Is this like at the end of Contact when it's like 4 seconds of video, but it was like an hour and a half?
Yeah. Well, I'm free falling if that's what you mean. Right, Virgin.
What are you, Tom Petty now?
Bastards.
What?
Oh, you got to hear John Mayer's version of that, man. John Mayer's version of Free Falling's just stunning. I'll play it at the end of the show.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And get us taken off YouTube.
That'd be better than Tom Petty's version.
Joining us, where's he been for ages? Keep looking left. Keep looking left. Keep looking right. Keep looking right. Because I can edit that. Foxy, look right. I can edit that.
Okay.
Right. It's Alex G. Fox. Where the bloody hell have you been?
You sound like my love and my wife. I'm out. I met a mate at a bus stop, but I didn't realise I was going to be quite so long. I was working late. What do you want?
All right, mate. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. It's very nice. Slightly terrifying, but very nice.
Slightly
I did
terrifying.
Do things with Carl, but he goes very easy.
Oh, bloody hell. If you were doing things with Carl, mate, you'd have needed a pair of steps.
Yeah, well, I'm not getting into that, not in public.
Adam's dropped. Oh, dear. He'll be back. No worries. At some point, I'm sure. Next to Alex is Jeffrey. With pants.
I'm sorry.
Is that because it's winter?
It's, yes. Winter started apparently at about 11 o'clock last night. And since we have limited... Okay, we don't have a working sewer system, so I have to drive across town to find working toilets. And it's cold and it's windy and the snow's blowing, so I had to put on pants. And
Are you saying you got a shit in the woods?
Pretty much, yeah.
Really?
No, he's not the Pope.
Is it that bad?
Yeah, we don't have toilets here. So
No, I mean, you do have a toilet under normal circumstances.
Under normal circumstances. Yes.
Okay.
So you drive over to the stores and you can use toilets in the stores because they actually have working plumbing. But it's cold out, so I had to put on pants and I didn't get back in time to start ditching clothes before the show.
Oh my God. I hadn't realized it was quite that bad. I know you'd had some rough weather recently and you were offline with drinking water, you were saying, filling the bath and stuff, but I didn't think it was... I thought you were messing around. I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, you just have to kind of work on a little bit of self-control, and we should have toilets again by the end of the year.
That's the last place you need a urine infection, isn't it?
Oh, boy, howdy.
Oh, God. Next to Jeff, Kelly G.
Hey, guys.
A.K.A. Casper the Ghost.
You
need to see sunlight more, girl.
I do see it. It's safely kept outside, and I am safely kept inside. I see it over there.
How you been in the last 3 hours since I haven't seen you?
Oh, you know, I've laughed, I've cried. It's been a ride.
Giving tech support for OnePass.
Yes, indeed.
New service out as well, eh?
Yep, that's my story. Oh. Don't ruin it.
Oh, really? Nothing like a bit of self-promotion. And last
In my life, nothing else has happened this entire week.
Okay. And last but by no means least, Adam. Not a Mac man tonight, because this is a Mac-free zone.
No.
You will be talking general tech.
General tech. I got some stories for you.
Good man. Have you still not put that lighting away?
The what?
Have you still not put that lighting away from shooting those porn pictures of your iPhone?
I've been busy.
My wife would have given me so much shit over that if I'd have left it up.
Well, this is my space. This is I own this office. This is mine.
Yeah.
I do whatever I want.
Have you got a sign on the door,
Adam,
that said...
It's so cute how you think you actually own something in the relationship.
Have you got
Adam works at MySpace?
Have you got a sign on the door? Adam's room. No trespassers. What are you, like 10?
It says no girls and the R's backwards.
I bet that is as well. You're going to pick that camera up before the end of this Christensen and show us that sign. The week in tech, what's been happening? Elon Musk's Tesla burst into flames.
Whoops.
People are saying, is that their Toyota moment? It seems a bit more Ford Punto myself, to be honest. But
well, and a bunch of pieces fell off his spaceship too, right?
Who? Oh yeah, didn't he have a thing explode in space?
Well, they claim it didn't explode.
Sure,
it just pieces fell off and were floating around.
Allegedly.
But there was no explosion.
Let's be clear. And Ballmer and Gates want to get back in, apparently, at Microsoft, even though everyone wants them out. So, no girls allowed, says Mark Shepherd. There's the title. I think it might be. Who's got a story to start us off? Alex, go on. You pick one, mate. You're top left. Go for it.
Okay, I'll be top left or left at the top. Right, I think it's quite interesting that the HTC One smartphone has just won the best smartphone of the year at the T3 Gadgets Award earlier on today.
Now, there's a lot of people saying that that is a damn good phone.
Yeah, well, it's taken quite a while. I mean, it's a nice looking thing. I don't want to get involved in the size of the screen and, you know, that sort of argument. I've heard it happen a few times since I've been away. I don't want to get involved in that one. But yeah, it's what they've been doing. They've been building upon, you know, model after model, and I think they finally hit on a really good model finally on the HTCs. And they've sort of sat back a bit after, you know, they were the big thing in the Android vibe, if you like, before they got Samsung came good. So it's interesting to see the HTC have sort of. Are coming back again. It's a bit like one of those boxing matches where you get to about round five and the one you think is down and out has got up again and is ready to go. So, I mean, it's a good phone, runs the latest software, but it's a good phone without shouting about, you know, having the best it or the best that. It's just a good all-rounder, and I think that might be why it's won, because it's not brilliant at everything, but it's good at most things, and I think that's where it's come from.
Now, I've got a Nokia... And I'm on the podcast with four iPhone users. So, anyone had a go with this phone?
Played with one.
Oh, really? So you've actually had a go.
They're nice. The thing is, I've got to admit. I mean, I've bought Samsungs lately because of being the pay bills and the buyer of tech, no matter who uses it. You know, we've been through the iPhone thing, and I don't know if my next phone myself is going to be an iPhone, but two iPhone users in my house said, you know what, I'm bored of those. So they've both gone over to Samsung, but I played with the HTC, but I played with the older one, and to be honest, Samsung just felt better. Don't know why, it just did.
HTC did go into the doldrums for quite a while, didn't they? I mean, Mr. Batwinch in the chat room is saying that they lost $100 million, and Belts is saying that Microsoft is talking to HTC about putting Windows Phone 8 on their Android devices instead of Android.
Well, that's actually interesting. What they're actually talking about is having an option. HTC will make a single unit where you can get either an Android or a Windows version of it. Which is what they're actually in line, but what they've Windows have been forced to agree that they will be the second choice,
right?
So it will be Android as standard, but you can get Microsoft if you want it.
If that's not an quite upgrade.
Well, I don't know, but it's an alternative. So I think Microsoft have realised, you know what, we're not the biggest player in this market, and the way to do it is possibly to sort of be a little bit more generous, you know, a little bit more understanding that they're not the be-all and end-all in this market, and they just want to slowly get into people's consciousnesses.
Windows Phone 8 in the UK has had a fourfold uptake in the marketplace in the last 18 months, so which is pretty significant. Jeff, Kelly, Adam, have you come across this phone, had a play with it, had a go with it at
only
all?
Sort of. I've gotten to play with the previous Windows Phone, the
whatever about version the HTC that was out in one. March,
and it was at that point it was a nice idea. It felt like it needed a little bolt tightening, and it sounds like it's gotten it. I haven't had a chance to play with one since. I want to. I'm not opposed to it. I just don't know. I don't know anybody who carries one, and it's not like I hang out in an office with a bunch of other people most of
yes,
the time.
Yes, you
so.
Do.
Only virtually, not like actually in person.
I wouldn't let you touch me even if you could. The Windows Phone 8 experiment,
the HTC One,
is fabulous. But we're talking about HTC One. Have you played with it, Adam? Yeah,
I have not.
No,
I think I picked one up in the AT&T store. Is that the one that is supposed to have the better sort of build quality than their other devices, or is it one of the because they have that one that has the metal back that's supposed to be more like feel wise like an iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Than HTC.
No, this is a piece of gorgeous aluminiumness that is
the HTC One.
Yeah, and it looks like an edge-to-edge display, which is amazing. But
yeah, so when I was picking up phones at the AT&T store and sort of playing around and comparing the different Android phones, that one did to me feel, you know, at least build wise like the nicest one.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
That's good. The phone market, I think the phone market's a lot more open now than it ever used to be. I've got to say, go back 12 months and it was iPhone. Nothing else was close. But there's a lot of other systems that are coming now where there's copycats taking place off them, especially even Apple.
I still don't like the software on most of the other phones. You know, yeah, I've tried Android. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I've been on an iPhone for so long, and maybe it wouldn't be so bad if I used one as my daily driver. But just always feels half baked to me for some reason.
Only until very recently was that the case. I know even Android believers who've said the same thing, like. I prefer it to iOS for this reason or that reason. And in the last few months, like as of this last summer, people have started to say, yeah, I could see where somebody who's coming new to the smartphone market might want to choose an Android phone for their daily driver. Mm. So it wasn't just you, because I've tried and I want to like it and I want to have an opinion. Like an informed opinion, pick it up and play with it. And it hasn't been nice to use until like this most recent release.
I think that's a good point.
So that's Jelly Bean.
I think it's Jelly Bean like Mark II or something. Like they've released some revision of Jelly Bean, and so it's that.
There's never a holistic experience. There was like little bits and pieces that were really cool, but you know, it was like it never felt tightened up or as a complete sort of thought.
I may be being a bit harsh here, but I always felt when I looked at Android phones down at the rugby club that people had got, that it was a bit iPhone wannabe all the time. And I haven't seen an Android phone that doesn't make me think it's a bit wannabe. Whereas the thing that appealed to me about the Windows Phone 8 system is it was a step change. It was like, okay, let's start with a clean piece of paper and see what an OS should be and what it should do. And they've got a lot of it very, very well, very right.
Yeah, but you remember, they took a real kick in for doing that as to all, though.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
They've been proof right.
Yeah. The problem they ran into was trying to then force it into the desktop and then not taking it and using it holistically on their tablet strategy. That's the baffling part to me, because I think on the phone with the Windows Phone 8 stuff, I played around with that a little bit too. That feels really nice when it's on, you know, a phone and even on a tablet. But then when I played around with like the Surface and you're flipping back and forth between the desktop version and the Windows Phone version. It just that destroys that whole experience. Once again, they take that cool, holistic, unique experience and then just screw it all up.
Well, the thing is as well, I think on the Surface, they've tried to run more Windows than run Metro, in inverted commas.
Right.
And that's the problem. If they just run Metro as it is, as it stands on the phone, I think it would be a killer tablet, because I would be sitting now with a Windows 8 phone in my hand going, there's a lot of synchronicity here between this and the Surface. The Surface suddenly appeals a lot more than the iPad, maybe. I don't think it would, because I'm a definite devotee of the iPad, but I wasn't locked into the iPhone sphere because I didn't use it for anything other than making calls, making texts, etc. And I wanted a better experience in the car.
I think Andy Lee of L Mug, he was on Mac a couple of weeks ago with myself and Kelly. And I think he put it exactly right. He was saying the problem with the Microsoft tablet and, you know, with in general on the phone is because Microsoft have got the wrong one. They keep pushing the sort of the mix between desktop and mobile. And he said, that's not what you should like. You should like the RT. You should like the one which is more, it's a different thing. And it's quite happy being a mobile device, not trying to run Windows 8 as if it's a desktop. And so that's the problem. People are looking at the wrong one. The good one is the cheap one. The good one is the one that's not trying to do too much. It's doing what it does, and it's doing it well.
Yeah,
the expensive one is trying to be a desktop amalgamated with a mobile device, which doesn't work.
No.
And that's the thing with a phone. It's not trying to be a Windows 8 version desktop on a phone. It's just trying to be Windows 8 mobile.
It's iOS.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It's its own. I don't mean it's iOS. It's not trying to copy iOS at all.
No, but I'm saying
it's own system. Sphere. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And that's where Microsoft have gone wrong by trying to mix the two things together. They should do it the same way as Apple have done it and separate the two things. One is a mobile device. One is a desktop device. Don't mix them together. You know, you can still send your files out and it can still open up on a desktop. It just won't be opening up on the same piece of software. One will be the mobile version and one will be the desktop version. And that's where they really do need to just throw away this idea of it's a mixture of both. Don't need a mixture of both.
Jeffrey's being very British and waiting for an opportunity to speak, and he's never going to get it with Alex and Kelly on the same podcast. So I will intervene. Jeffrey, it's your turn.
All right. I think Windows 8 is great on the smartphone and crap everywhere else. Mm. I think it's a really brilliant change in the whole smartphone interface metaphor thing, but it scales for crap. And I think that it's a really bad interface on tablets, and taking it to the desktop is just an abysmal failure. So I think Microsoft should focus on making that whole interface the best it can be for the device that it's clearly designed for, which is a smartphone, and then just let it go everywhere else, because that's not what it's for. And saying that the whole thing about this, the higher end Surface trying to be an amalgamation of devices, yes, that's exactly right, and that's exactly Microsoft's problem. They don't get that it's okay to make a focused device. That's they always have to try and make Windows everything, and all devices and all operating systems are everything for everyone. And it's a horrible mistake. They need to learn that it's okay to make a device that's good at one thing and leave it at that.
Belts in the chat room is totally agreeing with you here. He's saying Windows 8 RT is a dog. It should be killed off, and Windows Phone 8 should be made to work on the Surface. I agree totally.
I think another thing that has sort of hobbled Android, at least in the US, speaking of alternative operating systems, I think Microsoft is absolutely right. I don't want to say this to anyone at Microsoft, but you know how to make a dedicated device. I don't run Word on my Xbox. And I don't want to say that because someone at Microsoft will go, hey, you're onto something. And I don't think that's true.
Oh, man.
Because that would be horrible. But that being said, like, I think one of the things that Microsoft is doing right is they're getting in with Nokia, who makes good phone hardware, absolutely solid phone hardware.
They always have. You're absolutely right.
Isn't it you that carries one like today?
No, it's me.
No, the old little bullet. Wasn't it Alex?
I've got a 95 sitting. Oh, it's next.
Yeah.
I mean, Nokia N95 was seminal as a unit. Absolutely. And Gazmaz was on last week, and he still had his 6510, was it? The one that looks like a rocket.
Yeah. So those are, I mean, we all know Nokia, whether you liked their software or not, their phone hardware was always really, really well built. So they did pick a good partner as far as that goes. And they have taken some direction from Apple in that, at least right now, nobody else makes a Windows phone. It's the Nokia, it's nothing. And so they have done a good job of tying the hardware and the software together. On Android, that's not the case. And I think that's one of the things that has made Android frustrating for so long, particularly for people who want to like it in the United States, because it's not a big tablet operating system yet for most people. And so if you're not buying a tablet where you get a piece of hardware outright with no contract, not only are you getting whatever the hardware manufacturer wrapped around Android and sucked the life out of it with, but you're also getting whatever the carrier wrapped around it with. And on top of that, there's this weird compatibility matrix of system updates. So, I would never recommend an Android.
And there we go. Thank you, Virgin Media, you bunch of wankers.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, and they did a good job by taking a cue from Apple, because Apple controls the hardware and the software. And Android has been a frustrating experience for people in the U.S. because most of the time it's on a phone, not on a tablet. And if you buy a phone, not in the U.S., when you get a phone on contract, you're getting Android via Samsung or whoever, and then, you know, Samsung or Motorola or whatever. And then on top of that, you're getting another wrapper of crap from the carrier. And then there's the whole compatibility thing. Like, this version of phone on T-Mobile gets one kind of update, but if you have it on Verizon, you get no updates at all. So it's just a frustrating experience if you're trying to have a utilitarian device in your life that works reliably all the time that you can count on to get things like security patches. Android is still not the way to go just yet. I want that to change, but right now it hasn't. So I think the hook for Android, at least in the US, is going to be something like the new Nexus 7 tablet, which is A, pretty fantastic, B, running the new version of Jelly Bean I mentioned earlier, and C, not on contract. So it's like the purest Android experience you can get. And once you get that, if it looks pretty good, that's something that will cause people to really rethink the next time their contract is up what kind of device they're going to get.
See, now that's a decent segue into my story. So I'm going to steal the floor here.
Oh.
Are you guys aware of the Tesco huddle?
I have no idea what that is.
Is that code?
Yeah,
it's when you go around the back of the pick and mix.
Yeah, set, hut. No, the Tesco huddle is a 7-inch device. It's an IPS screen. It's a very basic device, 1.5 gigahertz Snapdragon processor in it. It's fairly powerful, but it's a 7-inch processor. And they're trying to attack the Kindle. They've got Blinkbox, which is their Blinkbox movies, Blinkbox TV, and they've got Blinkbox music, and they're bringing out Blinkbox books, which is trying to hit Kindle. And they're trying to really undercut Kindle and make them pay for it. And the other week they released it, and one of the features that they said was, this thing's carrying Android, but you can get the most up-to-date Android. They would let you go and get updates direct from Google. You didn't have to go with Tesco front-end in anything that you did. Now, there's Tesco apps on it that help you get to Blinkbox, etc. But the OS is pure. The OS is everything that you can get from Google. And that's got to be the way forward with other devices in Android. The carriers have got to get away from, and the manufacturers have got to get away from, their own badged OS, surely.
The carriers won't do that.
Well, ever. I mean, yeah, okay. But I agree. They probably won't, but they should.
Oh, I agree. They should.
Because for me, that's a huge selling point of the huddle.
Isn't that why the Moto X is doing so well? Even though it doesn't have the specs of, say, like some of the Samsung phones, but a lot of people are really loving the Motorola X because, I mean, that's Google's phone with Google's Pure OS on it. And I
middleman.
Totally agree with you on that, Ewan.
And Google bought Motorola, didn't they? So the phone division, exactly. Anyway.
Yeah. They're in charge of the hardware and the software. So it's going back. Right, that's what Kelly was alluding to as well. It's like that combination has been proven over and over again. And we just see it again with the Moto X, that is what consumers really want.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. Totally agree. But the other thing that was interesting.
That's what I was going to say.
Sorry, go ahead. Go on.
No, so that's what I was going to say before was, okay, so you got Apple, and obviously they've got their own OS, right? You're going to have Nokia and you're going to have Windows having their own OS, okay? Uh-huh. So I was going to say, so you got Google and they're not doing an awful lot with Motorola, but it's there if they want to do it. Is that going to force the other manufacturers, the HTCs and the Samsungs, into having to just purely go with an OS built by Google and not mess about with it? Because people love the Apple phone. Because it works perfectly with a single OS. Nokia and Windows will get it right. It's going to be a similar thing. They are going to work on making a piece of hardware that works perfectly with one piece of software. Motorola and Android have got that, and like you've just said, people like that phone because it's not been messed around with. The others will start to lose ground if they don't stop filling them up with rubbish on top, and they're going to have to sort of say to the carriers, you will not sell this phone if you keep piling rubbish on, because it's going to be three main manufacturers doing the same sort of thing, and the others will lose out eventually.
I agree entirely, apart from the fact that the proliferation of Android as an OS is 68% of the market. Why would you change anything at 68%?
But if Google have got the Motorola, and they are going to start bringing out better hardware, they just haven't got around to doing it yet. The other Android manufacturers are going to lose ground because people are going to looking at the iPhone works really solidly.
I agree.
That Nokia will work solidly. Give it another iteration. It's going to be brilliant.
I think there's a storm coming. I can't disagree with that at all, Alex. But the problem is that storm won't be realised by the manufacturers until they hit 40% market share. And that's the fault that Microsoft's always had.
Yeah, but Microsoft will gain ground now. I've had no doubt whatsoever that Nokia, Microsoft, Windows 8 will start cutting into Android.
I'm not up to the stage where I can say that this phone is my pick of the week. Not a chance. But because I'm going to get bitten on the arse by that at some point. And I've found contacts a little bit horrific, I have to say, this week, because everything was locked into iOS. And to get them out and get them into Google Mail and get them to sync, it's been a pain in the arse. But I like the customization.
But you're using Apple. Yeah. Using Apple as your desktop.
I was. But I was using cloud as my de facto system for address, calendar, etc. But the one thing that is beautiful in Windows 8 is the fact that any icon I've got, no matter what it is, I can choose three sizes of icon that suit me. I can have one that goes completely across the phone. I can have one that's a square, and there's two that fit across, or I can have four squares that fit where the one square does. That's what I want. I want choices. That's the key.
I can honestly think of, I'm getting to that point that even with glasses, I really can't see an iPhone screen. Now, that's my problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could say to my parents tomorrow, they've got iPhones and various things. I could say to them tomorrow, there is this phone where the screen's a bit bigger, or the icon's a bit bigger, and they would put that above any other single feature at all on a phone. What, you mean I'll be able to see those icons? And that would be it. It would be like, you know, like when you used to buy, not your parents, it was your grandparents, them's phones, that they were really big and they had massive buttons and they did nothing else in the house but other than have 1-9 naught star and hash on them. Because they were the only phones they could see. There's a certain section of society, and a big section of society, that if you just made the icons bigger, they wouldn't care if it was, you know, Symbian. They'd use it because the icons were big enough to be able to see. So I think that is a very, very good idea.
I'm at a certain time in life where reading things here is impossible, and reading things more than arm's length is getting more difficult. So the iPhone in the car is no good for me. And I'm not talking about I send text while I'm driving. I'm talking about the fact, just simply seeing who's calling me while I'm driving and whether I want to be bothered to take the call, or whether it's someone who's not that important and I can wait till I pull in at the service station to take the call. I can't read what they're saying. I can't read who it is. That's
it's really
that's why I,
really hard to see the subtitles on the while you're driving, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I flicked on the dynamic type immediately with iOS 7, cranked it up, it doesn't go big enough though.
It doesn't. No, that's exactly it. You know, you pull in that slider across and you're like, is this it?
Need a little bit bigger.
I think I've worked out a business opportunity here. You know, in the 50s when they had like 8-inch screens and you had those magnifiers to make the tellies look bigger. Maybe you should make iPhone magnifier so we can all have like a 12-inch magnifier on top of our iPhone so we can see it while we're driving.
I remember those. I used to go into a store in Chelmsley Wood that had I bought my first ever calculator watch, Texas Instruments calculator watch from there when I was about 12. And it was brilliant with LCD screen, and they had a big TV expander thing. Okay. Now, here's the thing about the Huddle as well, and this is a general tech story, it's not about the Huddle. When they released the specs, and I looked at it, and there was loads of discussion about it was going to break £100. And even at the launch, they were talking about they were going to break £100. I was like, right, as soon as this comes out, I'm going to drop £100. I want to get one of these and see what it's like. They're never going to send us a review unit because we stole their data and released it early. But tonight, I thought, oh, I need to go and buy a Huddle because it's out in 14 days. So I went to the Tesco website. It's £119, not £99. And £20, $30, it's kind of like, well, it's only $30. But I looked at it and thought, for £99, I'm quite happy to drop £99 and see what it's like. At £119, what's the bother now? And I just found that really interesting. You said it, Alex. You said there's a certain perceived price point that you get with
tech. Yeah, there is.
And you're not willing to go beyond that. And
absolutely.
That was it for me. I looked at the Huddle, $99, it's mine. $119, not so much.
You know what I think's going to happen, though?
Go on.
Right, just to explain, it's not just that. Tesco's is the biggest supermarket in the country. Oh, it's got a magnifier, great. They are the biggest supermarket in the country, and you have loyalty cards, and you get through the post every week, you get vouchers for this off, that off. They know what you shop at, etc. Very good. My business idea has been...
That's the only way you can see folders, and there's no question of that.
But they will start giving out vouchers for £20 off, or £30 off, or if you join Blinkbox at the same time, you can get it for £99. That's what they're going to do. You'll have to be one of the few people that pay £119, because everyone that ever shops at Tesco is going to have some form of voucher or other to get you hooked in at £99.
Yeah. You know what else it is about that price point is that it seems like, and I know this is informally, but it seems like a lot of people that like $100 is the magic level of what I see people call SAF, spouse approval factor. So like it used to be, I always
heard. Is it the other way around in your house?
Sometimes, yeah. So I always heard people say wife approval factor. And I'm like, no, I have the opposite problem. It's the wife that needs the approval. Yeah, we're kind of reverse nerd at my house most of the time. So at $99, if I want to go buy an Apple TV, I can buy it and I can come home and, yeah, I bought an Apple TV and it's $99 and that's the end of it. More than that is something you end up having to talk over with the other person in your house who has access to the bank account. So I think that's another reason that is sort of a magic number. And I think that's why the Apple TV is there. You can just come home with one.
But I think it's a good trick, though, to make something 119 and then give them that £99 with a special offer. Because that £99 isn't just below that thing. It's a bargain at that price, just below that thing. I think it's really clever.
It totally is. People need to think they're getting a deal. That's the other thing about it, is that that's why a lot of people have that sort of... I mean, when we did JCPenney, when the guy from Apple went to JCPenney and JCPenney took sales away,
Johnson,
people quit shopping at JCPenney because they were like, well, if nothing's on sale, I'm not getting a deal. Yeah, but the price is lower than it would be if it was on sale. Yeah, but it's not on sale. And that was the thing that, and so they've brought it back. There's sales now at Penny's again because people wouldn't go there and just shop. And I was like the only person on earth who was like, hallelujah. I don't have to have a coupon. I don't have to wait for the weekend like I do at Macy's. All I have to do is just show up, and the price it is the price it is, and I can move on with my day. And if I need something, they've got it, and I'm done. And it was awesome for like 3 months.
You can just see.
I was the only person going to Penny's in that time.
You can just see the conversation in the boardroom, can't you, at JCPenney, where they call Ron Johnson and they said, Ron, listen, we're going to have to let you go because I'm afraid you're just not getting this idea of coupons. And he's like, yeah. I came from an Apple. What do you think?
I know. Yeah.
Apple. They have a coupons day at Apple.
What's a coupon?
Adam's gone.
I think the machine I called in on died.
Oh, okay. I don't think so, but
I can see where that would be a problem.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a machine. It's totally toasted. I've got to stand up now. Bollocks.
Oh no.
We had problems with this machine with Greeny this afternoon as well. But I just told Greeny it was his fault.
So
okay, see Alex, that's funny. That's really funny.
Yeah, because Alex, Greeny believes me.
Are you going to get one of these? This Huddle?
Yes.
Are you going to get one?
I would have done it 99, but 119.
No, Alex. I asked Alex.
Well, sorry.
The thing is, I mean, I really love Kelly. The thing is, over the weekend, I had a terrible thing to say. I went to see my mum. And it was a birthday of hers, and I hope she's never going to listen to this, but I hadn't remembered to buy anything before I left. Okay, so I went to buy some book vouchers and the normal, here's a bunch of flowers and some book vouchers, I know, you know, that sort of thing. And then I went into WH Smith, which is a bookstore here, and then I realised they sold their own e-readers. And I thought, that's even better, because I didn't even have to queue up for vouchers if I go and buy one of those. And they had two, and I know she's not going to want this thing. So I thought, well, am I going to spend... I did look it up. I can't remember what the expensive one was. It was about £130. Am I going to spend £130 on something she doesn't want? Or shall I spend, and I thought it was great, £39.99 on something that she wouldn't want? She will use it maybe once and then not know how to do it again, so that will go in a box and never be seen again. So I did buy her other things, but I bought her one of these $13.99 small e-readers. And I've got to admit, I mean, I'm going to use it as my pick, because for $39.99 and the amount of books I already managed to put on for her, and the reading quality and the picture and all the other stuff for a basic e-reader, I was absolutely blown away. And it's only ever going to be an e-reader. It will never be any more than that. And it will probably only ever be used until the battery down. But I thought, you know what, you're talking about £119 for something that basically is just a glorified e-reader. I think I'd bother. I think I'd go spend £39.99 and use, if you like, proper equipment to watch movies and look at the internet on.
I've just realised. Sorry, Alex, go on, finish off.
Carry on.
No, finish off.
Perfect, good. No, I thought that was it.
I was going to agree there. I've just realised why Adam's machine keeps crapping out. It's because some idiot, some absolute moron, forgot to plug the Ethernet cable into the laptop when he broke the desk down this weekend.
You need better
rule of tech support.
I turned it off and back on again. You'd have been proud of me, Kelly.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so the first rule is it plugged in? The second rule is it turned on?
Yeah.
Well, I figured my magnifier made the pixels too big for Skype.
They don't
stick
down the tube anymore.
The good thing is we've got a huge, huge still of your amplifier, visual amplifier thing. Brilliant. Next story. Adam, what have you got?
I want to know if you and Alex are joining the cyber army. Did you get recruited?
Tell us more. Where do we apply? Do we need a medical?
The British government apparently is forming a cyber army.
They won't let me in. I have flat feet.
That's a prerequisite. What are you on?
You didn't hear about this? Yeah, the UK government.
I haven't heard about this.
Putting together a cyber army and recruiting. They're going to be doing both offensive and defensive strategies. They claim last year they blocked over 400,000 advanced malicious cyber threats.
Advanced.
Set up by the UK Ministry of Defence.
Is it going to be a playbook, playbook?
I just hope it's not the same people that designed the latest system for the NHS. That's all I can hope. It's not those people that have been doing
the joint in our cyber country.
You guys didn't know about that. I figure you guys would be heavily recruited, especially Alex.
Well, I might have been. I'm just not allowed to tell you. That's
he just hasn't opened his email for 3 weeks.
I'm just saying, I have still got a Nokia 95. That's what I'm saying.
That is a seminal phone, mate, for internet connectivity. God. That was the the one thing I remember about the N95. If you said to me, what's the one thing you remember about the N95? The N95 was Jason Calacanis stood with Leo Laporte in front of him at Macworld, holding it out, saying, we're on the internet. Talk right now. We're on the internet. And Leo Laporte going, what? You're holding a phone? He goes, no, talk right now. We're on the internet. And that was it. That was the N95 was huge. It was groundbreaking. It was revolutionary. Oh,
the N95 was.
Was.
Hello,
was.
Are you all back yet? Are you all back?
Was.
We're here.
The
Don't leave us hanging. The N95 was.
The N95 was seminal. And the one thing I remember about the N95 was Jason Calacanis holding it in front of Leo Laporte and Macworld, and he's saying, talk now, we're on the internet. Talk now, we're on the internet. And Leo Laporte going, what? That's a phone. No, talk now, we're on the internet live. With an N95. It was
a cool device.
It was
You guys got a lot of weird military stuff going on there. Your neighbors over there, the Dutch, are apparently recruiting also rat-sniffing bomb sniffing rats. I want to say that rat sniffing bombs would be cool too.
No, Adam, that you've read cool. Adam, you've read that wrong. That's their nickname for Dutch people.
Oh, of course.
You're Dutch. You're a bomb sniffing rat.
No, apparently, apparently, their police are training rats to go in and do find drugs and explosives and things like that. I don't know if they can't afford dogs.
Well, no, I think all the dogs have gone mad running around. Running around Amsterdam sniffing drugs, they're everywhere.
They said they can be trained quicker because dogs take 8 months and the rats learn faster.
They're pretty much expendable as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going with the Darwin theory. If one out of every 1,000 manages to survive the week, then that's quite a good rate.
Yeah, maybe.
And if they blow up, who cares?
I mean, what's the qualifications? Less rat in the world. What's the qualification minimum for this cyber army then?
Good question.
Do you need to know CSS or Python or?
I found an article from Wired, and all it says is recruiting will start in October and focus on three key groups: regular personnel leaving the armed forces, current and former reservists with necessary skills, and individuals with no previous military experience but with necessary IT skills.
And looks good in epaulettes.
That's anyone that eats Cheetos.
Yeah.
He's cheap.
Must like burritos. Yeah.
And lives with their mom.
Well, that stands to reason.
I live in the basement. I don't live with my mother.
Which is totally the same.
That's a little too good.
The thing that drew me to this is you guys are going to be building offensive capabilities.
Offensive?
But offensive cyber strike capabilities to put right alongside your land, air, and sea and space mainstream military
from
activity.
Space.
I work in offensive tech.
How are we going to have anything from space? Everything we send to space doesn't make it. It's like that Mars thing, Beagle. Or whatever we sent. The Beagle.
Beagle. Yeah. There we go.
The Beagle has landed. Hold on. Maybe it hasn't.
No, it definitely landed. It's just how many pieces of it landed.
Yeah, it just didn't stop quickly enough.
All the pieces
enough.
Landed. They just didn't stay together.
Some are still in orbit. Some are on the red surface.
Oh, my God. That was too funny, though.
I remember from waiting space. Up. It wasn't it New Year's Day or Christmas Day? It was one of the Christmas Day, wasn't it?
It was a forgettable day, that's for sure.
I remember sitting there going, oh, please, don't do this. Come on. Oh, look, come on. Everyone's going to know that we're completely inept. Oh, please.
Whereas before, they only suspected.
Well, yeah, we always just pretended we were slightly American. And we used to say, yeah, that space shuttle, I'm sure we had something to do with it.
I've got a video of a rat. Do you want to see it? There you go. This is at Ross, my... And in a people that's gasoline. Christ knows how. It goes to the top. Then I in the bedroom. Yeah. caught it on my CCTV camera. I've never seen that before. Oh, I did rap. A rat proving you're never more than 30 feet from an air rifle in Birmingham. Right. Jeff, what have you got for us?
All right. So everyone just loves Adobe. I'm sorry. I couldn't even get through that. All right. I'll just cut to the chase. If you have an Adobe account, there's a really good chance that your information was horked by hackers. 2.9 million user accounts were compromised, and the hackers got away with account names, encrypted credit card numbers, all kinds of information. Yeah. And so Adobe let everyone know this morning, hey, guess what? Or probably started with something like, ha, funny story. And so my assumption is that the security system they're using involves Flash. But what they're saying is, I shouldn't laugh because for a lot of people, this is really bad because their credit card.
Dude, I've got an account with Adobe and my credit card details are saved with them.
Yeah. So
what worries me is I didn't get an email.
Then you're probably not in the 2.9 million, or you're the one guy. They're like, oh, it's Ewan.
They're not apt enough.
It's hard to send 3 million emails. Like maybe it just hasn't. You just haven't seen it yet.
I got an email with your credit card number on it.
Yeah, but it gets better,
man,
or worse depending on your perspective. So, in addition to all this private user data being taken, credit card numbers being taken, the hackers got into the actual code for most of the Creative Suite applications and made off with that too.
Because nobody had an ill-obtained copy of Photoshop
ever.
Well, now they can compile their own, right?
Yeah, they can compile their
possibly
own.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You never thought that you've always known Adobe are crap, but you didn't really think they'd get to that kind of standard.
Well, that's why I was always happier buying their software. Because it was like, okay, I've got it now. There's nothing they can do to screw me. And that's how I felt. You know, I bought it through a business account. They sent me an invoice. I paid the invoice. You know, that's the way I did it. So, you know, it was, you know, there's no point in hacking me. Because all you're going to get is my bank account number. You're not going to get anything else out of it. But, you know, with the cloud, all the clouds, I've got to be honest, it's not Adobe. It's all this cloud software everywhere. That's the only thing that's really, really bothered me.
So
I have no control over anything I ever send out anymore.
It doesn't matter, though. I've worked at enough companies in enough places where, you know, this is just another hole in the entire chain of events. I worked at places where we had departments who would ask for unencrypted credit card numbers and be like, are you freaking serious? You want to put them into some database somewhere? I mean, the way companies are with the data that they get is, I mean, that's where the hole is, and you're never going to close that up. And it doesn't matter if it's physical or digital or whatever. This is just another way that nefarious people can get at that information. But, you know, I've never made any qualms. Anytime I give a credit card number online, I just assume it's being stored somewhere where someone eventually could probably get access to it.
Yeah,
but what's absolutely unforgivable about this, though, by Adobe, is the fact that it's virtually an identical hack that Sony got done with the PS3. So it's not like it wasn't something. You'd have thought when Sony got done, someone at Adobe would have gone, you know what, maybe we should check. Because of everywhere around the world now, in every newspaper, they know how to do this. So maybe we should check that it won't work. And no one did that. And that's the thing that I think is unforgivable. It wasn't a new hack. It was the same old hack that someone did. They probably tried it thinking, oh, this will never work. And they went, oh my God.
It worked.
They've left it open.
You know, what Adobe did learn, because I'm sure they were watching what happened with Sony. What they learned was, when something like this happens, tell everyone right away. Don't wait a week.
Yeah.
So at least Adobe did let everyone know right away, unlike Sony.
But the thing is...
But still, this shouldn't have happened.
The thing is, Jeff, if they're inept enough to let your credit card details out, don't you believe they're inept enough to forget to send you an email?
Yeah, you might be screwed.
One of the interesting things they've done, though, because I was reading about it today, they have reset everyone's passwords, but they've left the old passwords there. So, you know, you can get in with your old password and reset it, but they've automatically reset it. So every password that's been hacked, until you actually go back in to change it, that password's still active.
Mm.
So instead of doing the... Yeah, so instead of doing a full password reset, no one can get in until you go through the, you know, reset your password through the email and then get a new password. And every password's still active, which I think, I don't get it. You know, I use Adobe. I've got to be honest, I couldn't make a living without Adobe, so I don't want to be too rude for them because, you know, they're like Nikon. They pay my mortgage, you know? But I do think there comes a point where somebody's just got to go, oh, please, come on, this is like a pantomime farce. This is getting stupid.
Talking of that, Booker in the chat room has said Adobe Security equals Paul Blart Mall Cop. A parody in itself, no doubt. Kelly, what's your story for us, Mrs.?
It's also Security-E. Oh. So I work, and it's totally my day job.
I'm full disclosure
about it. So yeah, this is my day job, and sorry, my phone's going off. So I want to talk a little bit about a new version of software, and it's called 1Password. It's from a company called AgileBits, and that is my day job. And we just released a new version for the Mac, and it's version 4. It used to be version 3, now it's version 4. And we spent a long time rewriting it, revamping everything, making sure things would work and be beautiful and wonderful and fast and easy to use. And it was one of the things where our aim always is sort of to be like Touch ID. Like, we want it to be easy enough and secure so people will use it. That's now, really what it comes down to.
Just clarify for me, because I could always use 1Password with Mac anyway. So what's special about for Mac?
Well, then it's version 4, so it's a brand new version from the ground up, using a lot of the stuff that we were able to build when we rewrote the iOS version from the ground up and just started over almost completely new. And it's got a new data file format. So let me back up just for a minute, because I realize I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. 1Password is a program that will store information for you. And it's not limited to passwords. The most common use for it is passwords. So when you go to a web page and you fill in your username and you fill in your password, we offer you a way with a button that you install in your web browser to click that button and go Facebook, and then it just logs you in. And the reason that that's great is because we also offer a secure password generator so that nobody's going to get into your Facebook account or your Adobe account or what have you. And be able to hack that information. Also, we offer other varieties of form filling. So if you have to fill out forms often, then you can fill in your name and your address and your phone number, all the sorts of fields you would normally have. And you can click a button and it will fill in all of those for you. You can also use it to fill in credit card information. So Adobe doesn't have to store your Visa number. You can just put it in 1Password and let 1Password autofill it, and then you don't have to save it with them. So it helps keep a little bit secure that way as well. And you can also store like your passport, driver's license information, all the information about your credit cards. So if your wallet gets stolen, you can just start going through and making the phone calls to get your cards replaced. And I use it to keep track of all my family's hardware because I'm the one they call when it all goes wrong. So, like, I have serial numbers to everybody's phones, the models of everybody's computers, all the information about my phone, all the information about Mr. Kelly's phone, all kinds of stuff so that if I'm ever in a place where I need it, I always have it with me because the data will sync between your Mac and your other Mac and your other Mac and your other Mac, or, you know, your army of minis if you're Don McAllister. And all your iOS devices, your iPhone, your iPad mini. And if you have an Android device, we have a reader right now on the Android device, which is free, and also for Windows. So your all of your stuff can be on all of your stuff. So it's really great. We've really revamped the new version for the Mac, and we're really proud of it. So I want to talk about it because Apple has been sort of jumpstarting the security conversation with things like Touch ID and the cloud keychain stuff that we've heard about but not actually seen. We saw it for a little while and it's gone now in iOS 7. But I think anything anybody wants to do to be more secure is a good idea. And so you should try it. And so there you go. That's what I have to say about it.
Why is 1Password 3 not telling me I have a new, there is a new version?
Which version do you have, from the website or from the Mac App Store?
From the website, of course. Best place to buy it.
The website version, we haven't kicked out the notification yet. So that's probably why. Because the web store was sort of melting.
Adam, that sounds like an advert. So, Kelly, please tell me why.
No.
I get this?
Saying it was out, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know it was out. And I fired up my 1Password, and I'm like, check for updates. Like, you're up to date. And that's typically not how they do things.
Okay. If you'd like to be more up to date, we need your credit card.
I can tell you.
Just hand it on over to Adobe. What could possibly go wrong?
Are they a third-party vendor for you, Kelly?
What happens when you... When you click your 1Password and it says, enter master password to unlock, and you go, I haven't got a clue. I set that up 2 years ago and I have no idea what that was. What do you do then?
The good news and the bad news is you are completely out of luck. And the reason that that's good news is because if you don't know it, and there's nothing we can do to help you. And the reason, and so it's a good news, bad news thing. The good news is absolutely nobody has a backdoor to get into that to reset the master password. But the bad news is nobody can get in there and reset the master password. So if you don't know, I have a link of things that you can try. You can start over with a new data file. You don't have to buy a new copy of 1Password if it's not working for you. I have a link I can send you of like things we suggest to people that help them remember what the password might be. But otherwise, if you need help getting a new data file set up, ping me and I can help you get it redone. It's not a problem.
Okay. If you're not getting,
I need to buy version 4 anyway. So.
If you're not getting the support you deserve from LastPassword, all you have to say is, I know Kelly Gamont.
Exactly.
I was just going to say the other thing that I put in there that's really handy is I put in all my server information for like all my clients. So all the FTP and the MySQL and the root passwords and the SSH passwords and all of that stuff is stored in there.
Damn, boy, you better remember that master password then.
Huh?
You better remember that master password then.
Oh, yeah.
When I've become part of the British Cyber Army or whatever it's going to be called, I'm sure we'll be able to get
in. Maybe they can hack in there. They can probably get your password back, Alex.
Master password is Neil Armstrong was the first man to land on the moon, and just use the first capital letter of each one of those. There you go.
I'll give it a go.
That's what everyone does. That's like third after password and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Dog QWERTY maybe fourth.
What's the dog's name?
This podcast.
Indiana.
Indiana.
Named after the dog?
You named it after the dog. Excellent. I got another title. I think I'm going to need to write that down. This podcast and all this is sponsored by LastPassword. If you need anything to do with LastPassword, then go and see LastPassword because they sponsor this podcast. We couldn't do this podcast without them.
Who?
Oh, it's one. Oh, sorry, Kelly. Have I got the wrong one?
Yeah, we're not LastPass. We're 1Password.
Really? Oh, no.
Yeah. I can tell you're a fan.
Word.
Not really.
Hey, he held up a Sony lens on the iOS show this morning and called it Samsung for half the time he held it up. So. Oh,
that's true.
I then gave out the wrong model number. I saw that.
A lot of you. Right. You
Let's
can
try again.
This podcast.
Hold on a minute. Who won the competition then?
I can't believe I just said fuck with the sponsors logo up. Jesus. All I was trying to do was wind Kelly up. And look what you made me do.
British Tech Network used to be sponsored by UK.
They owe me money! Right, behave. This podcast and all the... I can edit. This podcast and all the others is sponsored by UK2.net. They are bloody awesome. I've just transferred all of my website over to CloudVPS and run it out of that for like the me work stuff, not British Tech. And I've used Website Builder. Man, is that easy. You pick a template, it's drag and it's drop. It's beautiful. If you want PayPal, I've just got a mate who does hair products and he wants to set up an online store. And I said, why don't you check him out? And he said, okay, I'll check him out. He bought Website Builder with a service from UK2. And he said, I think I've got it wrong. And I said, why? He said, because it didn't take me long enough. No, it's easy. If you want a PayPal template, there's one that's right there. You just do it. So the thing is, you could be really competent with CSS, but then you kind of fall over when you get into the e-commerce part. Doesn't matter. Just get the template that's got all the stuff in that you need for PayPal. And then if you're into CSS, you can customize everything else from that point forward. You can bring up a CSS panel and you can edit to your heart's content. Website Builder is incredible. Everyone's gone, so it doesn't matter. I'll carry on with the advert. Go to britishtechnetwork.com. Check out the sponsors link and go to UK2 and buy what you want from them. They're a really good firm. We love them to bits. We couldn't do this podcast without them. They've been supporting us when bandwidth cost an absolute fortune. And they've got a long-term support of this network. So there's a bit of loyalty going back from us the other way. So please support them because they've kept us afloat for a long time and they're going to keep us afloat for a lot longer yet. UK2.net, we love them to bits. Right. And you all crapped out in the middle of the advert for the sponsors, which works just fine and dandy. It's time for the cool thing. Foxy, start us off, dude.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you the Kobo Mini Black e-reader, which I bought for $39.99. I won't tell you where I was on the way. I nearly gave you my parents' address yesterday. On the way to my parents, who live a long, 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 long way away, right? So anyway, it is a touchscreen e-reader. And it's not very big. I'm trying to see what the size is. Five inch touch screen, black and white e-reader. It stores about 1,000 books. Okay, it's only little, but of course you can make the font a lot bigger. For touchscreen, Wi-Fi, you know, I can't quite work out how they do it for $39.99 or how much money they're losing on every one they sell. So I don't care because it didn't cost a lot of money and I'm really, really impressed with it. So, you know, if you're late for your mum's birthday and you've forgotten to pick up anything until you leave, don't buy a Kobo Mini Black e-reader.
Excellent. Good.
And if she ever listens to this podcast, I'm in trouble.
Oh, dear.
Well, the Kobo won't do podcasts, right? So you should be okay.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. If any of my brothers grass me up, I'm in trouble.
Jeffrey, what do you have for us, sir?
I have another stylus for you, because I am a stylus junkie. So it turns out that Wacom has a new stylus out, and it's called the Intuos Creative. And it's a pressure-sensitive stylus for the iPad or any other tablet that uses the same type of pressure sensitivity thing, conductive surface thing. Although I think right now the pressure sensitivity part only works on the iPad, but it balances really well. It's built really solid and it has 2048 levels of pressure sensitivity, which is it's double what most of the pressure sensitive styluses are that I have played with. It comes in a really nice little case. And it has, in the case, it has a place to hold the pen and several extra nibs and a spare battery for it. And I would show it to you, but I just realized it's not on my desk. It's actually sitting in a bag off to the side over here. Sorry about that. But what I can do is drop the link into the chat room so everyone can go look at it.
Cool. We like styluses. We buy too many of them. We're not as bad as Paul Kirkle, we have to say.
Aha. Uh-huh. You haven't seen my stylus collection.
Oh, maybe you are.
Yeah, okay. Talk to Jeff, yeah.
Thank you, Batwinch. She's reminded about the competition. Do that at the end of the picks, please, because there is a competition winner for the 12 South iMac stand. Not iMac stand, Mac Mini stand. So there you go. Kelly G.
Tell Jeff, yours. This looks pretty. I'm all distracted now by the stylist that, Jeff has put on here.
It is easily done. It's easily done.
So first off, I want to say that you can also get the Kobo Reader in the U.S. It's available through Powell's.com for anybody who's not in Portland.
Ooh, Powell's Bookstore.
Yes. And they have the Kobo, and you can also buy books from them for the Kobo. So if anybody is interested, there's also the Kobo option here, and it's really reasonably priced. I don't remember how much it is, but they sell like three different models at Powell's, and you can check them out. They're pretty neat. Anyway, my pick is Comixology, which is Comixology.com. And you can read comic books there. And the reason I'm picking it is because it's pretty platform agnostic. What they want to do is get you reading comic books and buying comic books through Comixology. So there's an iOS app, there's an Android app, there's a Kindle Fire app, and a Windows 8 app. And that way you can read all your stuff. They let you have pull lists, I think. So it's sort of like when you have a box at a regular comic store, you can have a pull list so that it just shows up for you every month. I really like it because they do offer a wide variety of free things. And so you can always, every once in a while, there'll be, you know, a random issue of something on sale and you can check it out and see how you feel about it. Maybe you want to buy more, maybe you don't care that much, but it's a good way to sample. And it's kind of hard to sample comic books any other way. The reading experience on it is really nice. And I haven't tried it on the mini. I have read a couple comics on my phone. I don't suggest it just because the screen size makes it really hard to appreciate an entire page of comic art. But it's really, really nice on the iPad. I know people who have the Android app who really like it as well. And so I'm suggesting it because there's a pretty wide variety of stuff available through Comixology. They have both Marvel and DC. So, you know, if you fall down on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence, then it you don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to get your comics. And it's pretty cool. And it's a really nice way to utilize the screen on your device for art, which doesn't happen very often unless you're Jeff or Kirkle.
can you read Mouse Guard on Comixology?
You know, I haven't looked. Let me look really quick.
I think you can.
There.
I must compliment you both on the most magnificent comic show that you put out the other day.
Well, thank you.
With the mascot guy.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
I tell you what, I did write to both of you. I won't sit there and sulk because neither of you replied. But it was a magnificent episode. I really, really enjoyed it. So thank you very much.
Where did you write?
I haven't seen your email.
Yeah. Oh no! I tweeted. I didn't want to be personal and email you because I'm just a fan. But when it comes to a comic show, I'm just a fan. I don't want to be seen to be writing to you, you know, and being a bit, you know, I'm just one of the fans. So I had to do it.
You don't want to be an excellent. You don't want to appear desperate. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to look.
No. It's not.
Well, I apologize for not responding.
Me too. No,
but
I feel
honestly,
bad now.
guys, it was a long show
tonight. Now,
and I actually told a customer that I was going to be late because I didn't want to go in until I'd finished listening to your show. So it really was good. Right. It really was fantastic.
Now then, while we're on the subject of comics, our great pal and huge supporter of this network, who we have to say, huzzah to. Tom Merritt has released his first episode of Ten State, which is his comic with L'Imperator.
It's nice. Really nice. I like it.
He sent me through a complimentary copy. I know he sent one to you as well, Jeff. It's good. There's a tip of the nod there to Hunger Games, which I thought was really good, mixed in with about every other reality show that you've ever seen on TV that you hate. And I think it's a winner. I think it's an absolute winner. I've only read issue one, but I think it's an absolute winner. So you guys have got to get Tom and Len on because that's superb.
That would be awesome.
Well, Tom has already said he'd love to be on.
We're
halfway there.
We deserve to give him the exposure because he's so fantastic with us. But also, it's a damn good read. I gave it to Ellis as well, and I read through it first. I thought, okay, he's 10. Maybe this is okay for him. So I gave it to him and he came back and said, Dad, that's really good. Praise indeed. If my son likes it.
That's awesome.
Mr. Mattcast, what's your pick? Are you going to pick the Mattcast?
No, I didn't know we had to do one on here, but that's fine.
We do cool things.
No, I got something. I'm going to pick a broken thing. Look at this thing.
Okay.
This is called the Nifty.
Oh, okay.
You guys know about these? This is made, I think a UK company makes these, right?
Is that why you're saying it's broken?
Nifty? Maybe why. So what this thing is it goes in your SD card slot if you have one of those Macs with an SD card slot. Mac, your MacBook Air, my 15-inch MacBook, and what you put into it, it's got a little slot on the side. And what you put into it is the little, what are these things called? Micro mini SD cards, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you slide that in. And the main reason I'm picking it, these came out a long time ago. They were a hugely successful Kickstarter project. But this one here, I got when I did a user group meeting presentation as like a little gift. And I put the card in there, I put it in my slot, and it showed up, it mounts on my desktop. And what's cool is the size of it, it fits totally flush. It does not stick out of the little slot. So you can leave it in there. The idea is most of us don't use that SD card slot. Here's a way to have extra flash storage. I think you can get up to a 16 gigabyte version of one of these little cards for like $40 or something like that. And then you have to use this little tool to actually extract it, so don't lose that thing. But the cool thing is you can leave it in, it doesn't stick out, it's not going to get bumped when putting in and out of your bag, and now you've got some extra flash storage so you can put some files on there that you need quicker access to and what have you. But the real reason I'm picking it is because they are so awesome of a company. So this first version that came out, they had some issues with. I think they were kind of new to doing this kind of hardware and stuff like that, and one of them was a design issue. So when I first put it in, I could see the card, but it showed up as read-only. And the reason why is, you know how SD cards have the little lock, unlock, like physical switch?
Yeah, right.
Slidey thing, yeah.
Yeah, so the card stuck in just a little bit too far, and it was thinking that the disc was locked. So I got finally figured I better do something about this. I contacted tech support. They just sent me the third generation version of it, which fixes the design problem. And it was a simple process going through support. They were really super helpful and they took care of their customers. So one, it's a really cool little product. The current version, as near as I can tell, works very, very well. The early versions, if people were reading about them, they kind of had some issues. So I think they lost a little bit of their buzz when they started to have some of these technical issues. But this latest one works great. And I think I got cut off.
No, we got you. That's fine.
Oh, good.
How much are they?
All good.
But there you go. So it's the Nifty, Nifty Drive, I think is what it's called. By, I think the company is named Nifty. But I think they're about $100.
Excellent. Okay. Like that. Good pick. Right, just before my pick, we're going to do the winner of the 12 South competition. The winner is James Kite. Well done, mate. You won. You correctly identified that the company, 12 South, started in 2009. So there you go. You win the high rise. If you send me your address, then we'll get it sent to you. Okay.
Plain congratulations.
Well done, James. Cool. James Kite. Now, if you're not listening to the big show, could be issues.
I'm betting James has lots of friends.
Yeah.
And someone's going to let him know.
If he has, they need to send him a tweet. Tell him that he's won. There's a good one. My cool thing. Now, this week, on Monday, I thought, right, I know I've got a couple of days this week. I'm going to clear the office out because I'm notorious for an untidy office, as anyone who's been in knows. And I went through all my cupboards, pulled everything out and stuffed it in the front room, tidied everything up and then started filtering it back in again. And the wife came up to me and said, "What's this?" "That's a Plextor Blu-ray drive, darling." She said, "Okay, where do you want me to put it?" "I don't know, it's not mine." "No, it's yours." "Why?" "It came out of the cupboard that I emptied." "Did it?" Apparently, and I have no idea why, I have a Plextor Blu-ray drive. So I thought I'd try it. It's USB powered. There's no other socket for power or anything like that. It runs completely off your 10 amp output. It's completely Mac compatible. I don't know what the model number is, although there is a thing on the back. It's a PXB12U01. There you go. Manufactured in July 2010. I never used it until today, but I didn't know I bought it. This is in my cupboard.
I wondered what I'd, I wondered what I did with that.
This was in my cupboard, and I have no clue how it got there. But I tell you what, it bloody works, and it's plug and play on a Mac, so there you go. You don't need to put drivers on, no, nothing. Just plug it in, off you go. And it reads Blu-ray players, and you can open Handbrake, and you can copy them. Oh, I did Gladiator today. I was so happy. But there you go. The Plex Store Blu-ray disc player, bottle number PXB120U01, manufactured in 2010. You can probably get these for about a fiver on eBay now. Christ knows. I must have paid for that, but Christ knows how much I paid for it. So there you go.
That's what happens when you buy stuff and hide it from your wife. You completely forget you even bought it.
That's the new shoes right there.
Yeah, exactly. I just reminded myself of something. I remembered you were talking about NAS on the Mac show today.
We're keeping Kelly up.
Okay, could I just let you know that...
No, please do. I'm sorry. It's been a really long week. Sorry.
It's all right. Joking.
I bought, you know what they're called? Western Digital Live NAS drives?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I use those, and they have built-in Time Machine. You can use OneDrive, you can use an extension drive if you want, but it's got a built-in facility for drive Time Machine, because the question was, he wanted to have something where he could do a touching backup and have separate things on his NAS system as well. So I say Western Digital Live, it has it all built in, everything's there, Apple TVs will read them, it's all built basically for Mac.
Beautiful.
And a 3 terabyte drive's about £140. So there you go. That's my recommendation for your question that you had about 6 hours ago.
Thanks, mate. Paul says, I wish I had that shit in my cupboard. And Batwing says, I'd rather have the new shoes.
It's all about priorities.
Ewan's Magic Cupboard, a new podcast. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Fox?
You can get me. I'm on Alex G. Fox on Twitter, and I try and help out with the media show when I have the opportunity.
Are you on this weekend?
I don't know what's happening this weekend because Mr. Madden's on his travels and I don't know who's around and who's going to be back.
Bournemouth, apparently, which he's not around for the two days.
No, but I mean, if he's back, then yes, we'll all do it. I mean, I'm sure Russ will do it without him, but yes, it's all very jolly.
Okay.
And it's live stuff. It's so much easier.
Right here. Where can we get a hold of you, Jeff?
Well, you can find me at macobserver.com. And on Twitter and app.net, I'm Jay Gamet at both places. You can find me here, sometimes on the Mac show, always on the comic show, Apple Context Machine. We have communicators. I kind of get around. And
you're a podcasting whore. What are you on about? I kind of get around.
I am a podcast.
If there's an STD for podcasts, mate, you've got it.
Yeah.
Jeff and Kelly are going to do a new podcast on this network just to tell people about the podcasts that they're doing on this network.
Oh, really?
It's an extra one.
I'm glad it was news to Ewan.
Yeah, well, it usually is. Yeah. So, also, go check out Fresh Brewed Tales. That's where I talk about crazy stuff that I see in coffee shops. And it's all real.
Okay. Jolly good. Where can we get a hold of you, Kelly G?
You can find me on the Angry Mac Bastards podcast. You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. And yeah, you can occasionally find me over at the unofficial Apple weblog or on the comic podcast on this very network.
Got to watch the comic podcast. Good show. And Adam, where are you, mister?
I hang out over at maccast.com. Also maccast on Twitter, app.net. Hang out with Jeff on the We Have Communicators podcast from time to time. And pretty much at MacCast anywhere online, you're gonna find me either that or the MacCast when someone got in there and snaked my username.
Maybe he was with Adobe.
Maybe.
Which means it should be easy for you to get back.
There you go.
Should be. We'll be back again next week with the big show. We're supposed to do a switcheroo with the TNT show, but I've got to work on Thursday, so I'm not sure when we're going to do it. I've sent an email to him, and we're waiting to see. So. Maybe we will, maybe we won't, but we'll definitely be a big show. It'll be fine. See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.
Here we
are. I really enjoyed that show. That was good.
It was fun.
Yeah. See, I told you, bring a story works, doesn't it?
Better. Yeah.
Much better vibe. I'm not just a lazy bastard.
And it really was incredibly funny that you dropped an F-bomb right in the middle of the ad. All of a sudden, you went...
What do you mean, our ex-sponsor?
Awesome. I gotta edit that.
I had another 5 stories. I was really prepared.
And yet, I am using... By the way, someone said, Ewan's always got good hair. Thank you. I am using those hair products today.
See, I knew it. I said in the chat, I said, now I understand why Ewan's hair looks good from time to time. Actually, all the time.
And I got some new ones this week. So.
Quality hair products.
Hold on. None of it's on my head.
His whole hair product. Because it was blowing his budget. So now he gets a discount.